right, everybody, get your stuff. Make sure you have everything. You have your water so you can hydrate. And you got all your stuff, right? Your weed. And okay, so the train's here. You all come aboard. We have some new people today from some place called Reddit, Pennsylvania, I think it is. Is it Reddit, Pennsylvania, Doctor? Is there a Reddit in Pennsylvania? What is
There's
Reddit?
A Redding in Pennsylvania.
Right, okay. So
and I read it on Reddit.
You read it on Reddit? Wow. So we want to welcome you, and I know you don't know who the hell we are, but a lot of you do know my wife.
Hi.
That's Dr. Susie. And for all you guys that are about 30 or 40, I know what you were doing when you were a little kid at 11 o'clock at night. You were listening to the show.
Or watching.
Or watching, right. Mm-hmm. So how are we doing here?
When we were on HBO and public access TV.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Century,
now
Century
here
Cable,
we are.
Century Cable. Mm-hmm. Hi, Century Cable. Do you remember us?
That was our flagship station.
All right. Yeah, okay, so now we're on Facebook, too? Okay. So before we start tonight,
Before we start?
Yeah, I mean, before we start the official
I thought we started.
Show. Well, yeah, we did, but then you take over. And I shut up and I go in a corner.
Oh, that's when we actually start.
The real start.
So this is a pre-show.
This is just a little pre-show amble to get you fired up, get you hot.
Sit in your corner.
Right.
Or stand. Yeah. Maybe I'll make you stand with a cap on your head.
I will stand.
Naked.
I will stand. Okay, so tonight I want to talk a little bit. Can somebody close the train door? Because it's also windy in here and very noisy. All right.
Now the train is gone.
Now what happened to the train?
There's no train at all.
We're flying through
we're
the
back
air.
On the train. It just stopped.
Yeah, no,
momentarily.
It hit a sheep or something. I don't know. It's whatever. Okay. I've had the train car totally insulated. And we are in the bar of the lounge in the train car. Okay. And all our equipment is on the bar. And the bar is right behind us. Okay, so I got carried away again. So before we start, I want to talk about Mark. Mark Zuckerberg. Berg? Was it Bird? Berg?
I call him Marky Z.
Marky Z. All right, Marky Z. I got some words for you. I understand you're running some kind of prison camps where you put a bunch of people in prison without a trial. And by the way, if you're a bot and listening to this, hey, everything's cool. Everything's very cool. So you take away a right that our forefathers and actually God and the goddesses gave us, and that's the ability to speak freely. And I understand all of this because I've been prosecuted 23 times for my work. I've been in prison. That's all cool. But it's not very civilized. And the oppression of sexuality, the oppression of sexuality, and particularly the oppression of female sexuality is not an acceptable way to run a culture in any way, shape, or form. So I just want you to be aware. I know you're all going to prison. I'm telling you. Every American now is going to one prison or another. As a matter of fact, I would say they're getting you ready for that. Like, if you don't want to do certain things, you know. And Mark is part of this. This is Mark is part of this massive censorship. And it's personal for me. So anyway, we're on the train. By the way, I just realized we fucked up. We may have to go back because we took the wrong train. We're supposed to take track 9, and we took track 8. But that's okay. That's the infinity sign. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you Dr. Susie.
I thought I was already given.
Oh, no, no.
I've been sitting here
this
talking.
This is the start of the program.
Oh, what have we been doing?
I've been speaking. You know.
All right, we're not able to be seen on my page on Facebook because, of course, we're being censored by Marquise. Because why? I don't know why. Honestly, the censorship that's going on right now is so pervasive. It's a little bit like a pandemic of censorship. So a couple weeks ago, Facebook censored me because of a post from 2009 and gave me no course of appeal and just put me in their famous Mark Zuckerberg prison camp, Facebook jail, it's affectionately known as, for 30 days. And now, tonight, they just said that one of my videos from 3 years ago is somehow in violation of something, some community standard, not my community, but some community somehow in somebody's mind or in the algorithms of a bot. And so I've been censored again, but I don't know how many times they can put me in jail. Maybe now they're going to put me in solitary. I don't know. But also being censored by YouTube, we can't completely fault Marquise. It's the fault of big tech.
Yeah, no, and it's the cleansing.
It's going on with a lot of sex-oriented cleansing organizations and individuals, yes. And it's going on with other people. I mean, what we were censored for on YouTube had nothing to do with sex, really. I don't think it was bullying and harassment when we were critiquing the Capitol riots, right? So that show is still censored, and we are being libeled and defamed by YouTube. Whenever you go to see that show, well, at least the channel's up for now. Yes, there's a big push to censor, to cleanse, to sanitize, and exterminate on the part of big tech. And I guess that mostly it hits people that have a medium size audience or following. It's very focused on us because we're the ones that might get flagged and that don't have lawyers that know Facebook lawyers. You know, so if you're Cardi B, you don't get censored. And if you're somebody that has an audience of like 12, you don't get censored. But if you have a, you know, decent following of a few thousand, but not so many that you really have that clout, then you get censored. That's who the dumb bot drones go after. And yeah, it would be nice, speaking of public access, if there was some form of internet public access paid for but not controlled by the big social media platforms, just like the cable companies used to pay for but not control public access TV. I think that that would be great. You know, because I understand that these platforms are private, so there should be a public alternative besides just your own website, which obviously we have.
But can you discriminate? Of course you can.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I can't deny that they have that right. The problem is they're too big. And we have come to rely on them as the commons, the public square, the place where we can communicate with our fellow humans and have free speech rights. Well, we don't have free speech rights because these are private companies, but either they shouldn't be or they should be broken up. So break it up, big tech. And speaking of censorship, free Julian Assange, okay? That guy, I mean, I'm sorry. Facebook jail is bad, but real jail is, well, it's a sin what people are doing. I often say lovers and sinners in an affectionate way, but I don't mean it that way right now. I mean, it's a terrible, unconscionable thing that several governments are doing to a journalist, Julian Assange, who should have his free speech rights preserved. And his life, they're killing him in there. Free Julian Assange.
Hear, hear.
Joe, it's on you now, Joe. Drop the appeal. Drop it. Don't extradite him. They'll let him out. And free Britney. I mean, she's not in jail, but, you know, she deserves to, you know.
Her dad did lose sole conservatorship over her.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
That's good. Yeah. So who got the money now?
Well, it's just that now there'll be an added person added to it. So it's not, he's not the sole person responsible.
Right.
So it's like one step towards the right direction.
There are so many crazy celebrities. So many. That do not have their, you know, rights to control their own fortunes and lives taken away from them. I believe that it was taken away from Britney because she's so sexy.
Or because she's a woman.
Well, yeah, she's a woman, a sexy woman. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy women out there, crazy men, crazy celebrities. I don't know that they've had this done to them. So free Britney, but really free Julian Assange. Britney's not in jail. Britney's doing all right, actually, as far as I can see. So happy Black History Month, right? It seems silly that it's only 1 month, right? But
yeah,
you know, I feel lacking not saying it at all. So. It's like Women's History Month, kind of silly that we have 1 month for Women's History. I mean, I know I'm Jewish. I wouldn't want a Jewish History Month. Somebody asked somebody about that.
Speaking of Black History Month, I saw the Black Cantors.
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting.
Very nice picture of a bunch of Black cantors from a synagogue in the 1920s.
Wow, that was interesting. I'd never seen that.
It's
great.
We saw that from Penny Antine's post on Facebook.
That's correct.
Where she is obviously not in jail.
And whose works we have hanging here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, beautiful works that would not be able to be posted on Facebook.
No.
Of her fabulous porn shoots.
Right.
And we have a whole series of beautiful interracial porn.
Oh yeah, she's done such beautiful work, as
Sorry if interracial porn is not a politically correct term, but I'm not sure what to black white. Okay. So speaking of which, I saw a good movie. I mentioned it.
Black white or Chinese, you're going to prison. that's what's happening.
Now, are we talking Facebook jail or like real jail?
Oh, yeah. Well, about 2 million of us are in there.
Well, actually, we did talk about Larry Flint, who took a bullet for interracial porn back in the, 1980?
And the guy from
Around
Eros.
Then.
Yeah, and the guy from Eros didn't take a bullet, but they ruined him for a beautiful cover that he did.
Mm.
Which,
censorship.
Which I republished many years ago.
And so we saw a good movie, a documentary about Fred Hampton, the charismatic Black Panther Party leader, Judas and the Black Messiah. Also, did you know Fred Hampton was the founder of the Rainbow Coalition? I had thought it was right. Jesse Jackson, but no. It was really Fred Hampton. And, of course, he was assassinated by the FBI in 1969. And Martin Sheen gives a great, horrible performance as the leering, racist, despicable, hypocritical J. Edgar Hoover, who also went after a lot of gay people, even though he was very gay. And I think the movie could have focused more on the Messiah and less on Judas. You okay there, Max?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, you just spilled something? Or?
I spilled my phone.
Anyway, not much sex in this movie, but a very nice, beautiful, erotic relationship between Fred and Deborah Johnson. The Panthers were too amosexual for me, actually. But they did have some great programs for helping poor people. And I think it's a good movie. Pretty good. Speaking of amosexual, it's really obviously very in these days, even though the NRA is in all kinds of trouble. But amosexual Colorado Congresswoman Laura Boebert, whom I call Loony Beretta Brain. Well, I guess she's jealous of Margarine, you know, the other amosexual congresswoman from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's getting all kinds of publicity. Well, she did last week. So this week it's Laura Boebert, and she apparently attended a congressional Zoom meeting with a pile of guns behind her. So
who's this crackpot?
That's crazy.
Who?
I mean, what? Hey, Jeffrey Toobin got fired for Zoom dick, but this pile of guns, these sort of artificial dick substitutes, are okay. You know, I mean, I thought my bed was messy in my bedside chats, you know, with dildos all strewn around, but Congresswoman Lauren's lethal dick substitutes, aka firearms, are a mess. I mean, check out that picture. They're not just back there behind her. They're just thrown around. That's just it. That's just it. That's how she wins the amosexual vote. And by the way, hours before the rape of the Capitol, she tweeted, "Today is 1776.
And what's her name again?
Lauren Boebert, or Boebert.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Boebert. I call her Loony Beretta Brain, but, yeah. You know, that's a little bit
You know,
mouthful.
They're going to take your guns away. It's coming. Because the massacre in America today, thousands of people are dying a year.
Yeah, and it's sad for the people that are responsible gun owners, as they say. I mean, I'm not against the Second Amendment. I'm not against the hunting. You know, I eat a little meat, you know, so you can. I hate when you shoot these endangered species. Come on, guys. Don't be shooting wolves, okay? We talked about the wolf in our Lupercalia show. Save the wolves. But a little bit of hunting, if you're going to eat it for your own sustenance, okay, but yeah, they're going to take away those guns too because you guys are out of control. They just had a big shooting where? In a gun store.
No, they're shooting
down
kids.
South in Louisiana.
They're killing kids on their front lawn who are just playing.
Because guns are difficult to control.
But you know what? I love guns. I don't own any guns and I've never owned any guns. But it's not the guns. There's something wrong with people.
Well, then we should take their guns away because there's something wrong with them. They're not responsible, obviously. I mean, yeah, you know, the Swiss, for instance, they seem to be capable of handling their guns. But they don't have that many guns, and they don't have these assault rifles. And yeah, they're not so angry with each other, I guess. And then you got, you know, Lauren Boebert. Today is 1776.
Yeah, well,
hey, sis, this ain't my revolution.
Here's a proud American.
Now, what is wrong with our society, speaking of censorship, when a pile of guns is not censored, and I'm not saying it should be,
and
but it's
loaded.
Not, and all of social media would censor a pile of dildos, you know. That is, if they were penis-shaped. Of course, if they're beautiful alien dildos made by Bad Dragon, that's okay. We love Bad Dragon. But anyway, beautiful genitalia is censored while guns are just fine. Mm-hmm. And by the way, of course, Lauren Boebert owns Shooters, the restaurant, which was implicated in a poison scandal where they had all this tainted meat or something that really made a lot of people sick. So, why are we here, Captain Max?
We're here, the basic reason we're here is to live.
But why are we here in this amosexual, angry society?
Because you've had the Rush Limbaughs of the world, the Nazis of the world, you know, the fake conservatives of the world.
And let's talk about that little item you mentioned there. A little item, yes. A death in the American family. And that is what the dearly departed old Uncle Rush tried to slut-shame me as. A little item, he called me. A small story, he called me. This was a few years before he met the Grim Reaper. Not Mitch the Bitch for the Rich, the other one.
I'd like to insert an ad in here. We haven't had any ads. You spoke of decks. We socialist capitalists have decks.
I was actually speaking of death.
Oh, death, not decks.
No.
Sorry, but you can get the cards at our store, okay?
Okay, the deck of cards.
The deck of cards.
And this is the insurrection
pack.
Pack.
Ta-da! You're going to love it.
Mm. Right. Is Rush in there?
Rush? He's in the deck, yes.
He's in the deck.
Yes.
Because, of course, he incited. He said before this happened, there's going to be a civil war in this country. There's going to have to be secession. He kind of walked back on that, so to speak. But
yeah, but he's been talking about that for years and years and years. And look what you've done. You got yourself some cancer, and you created a cancer among Republicans and young people and old people with lies and greed and just simple, I don't give a shit. Excuse me.
I think it's kind of fitting that the godfather of modern bigotry kicked the bucket at the not so old age of 70 in the middle of Black History Month. Huh. I thought it was so kind of wrong to give him that Medal of Honor in Black History Month of 2020. But,
who gave it to him.
What goes around comes around.
You know who gave it to
him. I know who gave it to him. We're getting to him. But first I want to talk about mean old Uncle Rush. You know, that uncle you can't trust.
The pill man.
You know, but he's part of the family, right? And yeah, he takes a few pills, but he's part of the family, the 5-century-old all-American family of genocidal conquistadors and proper settlers and native killers and slave owners and nature destroyers and KKK supporters and Nazi sympathizers and imperialists and bomb droppers. That side of the great American family, you know. Yeah. Rush was one of us from that side, you know, which is a side of the American family. And he was definitely an American. And he was funny. Old Uncle Rush. In a mean way.
Wasn't
in that way of making fun of poor people.
He's Polish, right? He was born in Poland.
Rush?
Yeah. That's what I heard.
He was of German ancestry, and he was born in, actually, Missouri.
Missouri.
Yes. Right. Were you trying to make a joke?
No, no.
Oh.
I just said I heard he was from Poland. He was born in Poland. He wasn't really a citizen.
Oh, the birther, rumor. Yeah, he was into that, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, old Uncle Rush.
He helped that one. Thing is, we're on the air and you're not. Ha
ha. Too soon or not too soon, I guess? Not too soon?
Not too soon. Not too soon. No, sir. No, ma'am.
So well, I was listening to this other comedian, and he made a Rush Limbaugh kind of video also. And he said that...
video also?
All the people that he made fun of throughout his whole years, they're going to be waiting for him at the gate and beat him
That's
up.
That's right. That is so right, because his was the opposite of the old journalistic motto, which is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And Rush was all about just loving the comfortable and the powerful.
The terror.
Just sucking up to, you know, anybody with power. And then using his, you know, small gifts of comic timing, to mock the weak with that booming baritone. He did have a baritone.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. He had a booming baritone storytelling voice that you couldn't help but hear blaring from your redneck neighbor's pickup truck. And actually, he made a certain kind of sense to your redneck neighbor. But, you know, like so many old Uncle Rushes that you put up with around the holidays. Old Uncle Rush was mean, and he was wrong, and he was evil, and everything he said was mean and wrong and evil. And if you kept listening to him, pretty soon you'd think mean, wrong, and evil was actually nice. And correct.
Because he walked in the hallways
and
of your
moral.
Mind.
Because he walked in the hallways of your mind like any radio announcer or talk show host does, like we do.
Right.
It's the theater of the mind. That's what radio is. And Rush was a kind of master of it. And I say that as a radio person who came to radio in the 80s. Yeah. But he used it.
To insult and to...
For ill.
Ill.
To be mean, to be wrong, whether he knew he was wrong or not, I think it was both ways a lot. And to be evil. You think that's funny, do ya?
No, Juck says that talking about the death, these various deaths, but one particular death... he's never laughed so hard during a story about death.
About Rush? Yeah. Well,
I jokes.
Rest in piss, right? R.I.P. Well, I was reading that a lot on Twitter. I didn't make that up.
No, people saying rest in peace. Like, oh, I get it. Rest in peace. I always like when people can find different.
I love it. I love it. I hate rest in power. I just think rest in power is lame because you're dead. You don't have no power. But and what do you need to be powerful for? You're fucking dead. But rest in peace. I get that. Hopefully you're at peace. You don't have to do any of those crazy things they got you doing in hell or Hades or wherever your mythology is from.
Did they bring pills
rest
for him?
Rest in piss is good. And probably they make him, you know, piss to see what he's been taking. Before. Pill-wise. Yep. It's the piss test. Yeah. It's really like a lot of dysfunctional American families. Mean old Uncle Rush. He dominated the conversation to the detriment of almost everyone else. You ever have an uncle like that who dominates, who nobody else can talk because of this uncle or cousin? Usually a man, sometimes a woman, I grant you. Okay. But, you know, yeah. So he dominated the conversation. And now he's gone. And now we're saying goodbye. And some of us are saying, good riddance, woo! Friends, humans, media junkies, lend me your ears.
Countrymen.
I come to bury Rush Limbaugh, not to praise him. So here's another clod of dirt for the grave. Rush Limbaugh. Who I nicknamed Rash Limp Balls a few years ago.
Doesn't Stone have his tattoo on his back?
No, that's Richard Nixon he has on his back. Dick, yeah, the Dick. He's Dick Nixon on his back. But they're all related, these assholes. And, you know, they all do have various sexual issues. Well, everybody does, actually. You don't have to be an asshole to have a sexual issue. But Rash Limp Balls, you know, that Viagra had to have a purpose, you know? And I believe it was to combat the OxyContin and OxyContin and, as you say, the pills that he was taking that probably rendered him a little impotent before his time, maybe, or maybe it was the weight or the cigars. I don't know. But, yeah, the Viagra. Doing what he was doing down in Dominican Republic, which is cool. Hey, I'm all for doing what you do and take your Viagra or whatever, but don't be judging. Of course, he was a constant judge. And now he's dead. And I don't usually like to speak ill of the dead unless the dead really make me ill. And Rash Limp Balls made me very, very ill. As you can imagine, a case of Rash Limp Balls might make you. But listen, over 30 years, he made me ill. And so I feel like I just took a Tums. You know that feeling? I'm heartburn. I'm going to die. And now, you know. I feel good. Is that wrong?
No, I ask you. No, it's not wrong. It's like, you know...
Because I'm bonobo, you know, yeah, and I don't applaud killing any humans or other apes or animals. But I do celebrate the natural demise of a dehumanizing, sexist, racist, homophobic, climate change denying...
What's this guy's name again?
Amosexual.
What's his name?
The father of Lauren Boebert.
Who is this guy?
Blowhard.
Oh!
Rush, a.k.a. Rash, Limp Balls...
Limp Balls? Oh, he died? Oh.
The King of Creeps.
King of Creeps.
I remember in the 80s when he called feminists feminazis. Yeah, and I thought that was so just awful. And environmentalists, tree-hugging wackos. Of course, now it seems par for the course because he's infected us with name-calling. And he's also, of course, the Sultan of slut shaming. Let's talk about that for a moment. Having infamously asked, what does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? I'm trying to do the Rush baritone, if you haven't figured that out. What does that make her? It makes her a slut. Right? It makes her a prostitute. Well, first, Rash. Her name is Sandra Fluke, not Susan. I'm Susan, the other one you slut-shamed, but we'll get to that in a minute. Second, she was talking about the need for government-subsidized reproductive health services. Okay, and I admit that's a little socialist. It's very bonobo.
Yeah.
And you only like corporate socialism. But that, to mean old Uncle Rush, made Sandra Fluke a prostitute. And hey, nothing wrong with being a prostitute, though sex worker is the preferred term. And nothing wrong with being a slut. Some of our greatest people, environmentally safe, and
we're sluts.
You know, or sluts.
Or sluts.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
sluts.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Sex
sluts,
workers.
Slugs and
certainly not
and
any
slugs.
Of the worst people. Not the worst
no,
people. The worst
no.
people are not sluts or
no.
sex workers.
No, sluts are great.
I myself am a slut.
Yeah.
I am happily married for 28 years, and actually right now we are sheltering in place, and yeah. I am not getting within 10 feet of anybody, but I have in my time enjoyed many erotic activities with a variety of right. partners. So yes, I am a slut, and I am not ashamed.
I am also a slut because I would sell my feet if you wanted to like smell my feet. That's how I got into business on
right.
Sunset Boulevard.
I didn't know you then.
Guy
I would have taken some of the money.
Can I smell your feet? Welcome to California.
Mm.
Paid me $50.
Is that why you like to smell my feet? Because it reminds you of when you were young?
I said, I'm homeless. I live in the Lincoln, the old Lincoln down in the police pound.
Mm.
So my feet aren't, I can't wash them every day. He says, they're dirty? I said, yeah, probably, and smelly. He says, that's great.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nice. Anyway, then I quit the business. That was it.
Too bad this isn't Scratch and Sniff Radio.
Yeah, it was all too Scratch and Sniff. Yeah. Hi. So there's a lot of people here from, where are these people from? Oh, Reddit.
They're from the town. No. It's called Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. What state is that in?
I think it's Colorado. I don't know.
Colorado. Yeah, they're having problems up there in Colorado.
Colorado, that's where Lauren Boebert is from.
The one with the guns.
Looney Beretta Brain.
The one?
Beretta Brain.
The one with the
that's
guns.
That's what I call her. Well, she looked like she had Berettas coming out of her brain and
right.
rifles and little cute miniguns that you put in your holster. By your leg, like a garter belt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Really cute. They are. I got to admit it. It's cute. And it's really, you know,
scary.
Poisonous. Whew. Yeah. Mm. But yeah. So anyway, I was talking about being a slut. Lauren seems a bit slutty. And I actually like that about her. I think she slutifies herself in the service of the gun industry, which is not just sad, it's dangerous, but I got to admit, she's cute. She's hot. I get the whole amosexual fetish. I get it. I get that guns are phallic and dangerous and taboo and sexy, but, you know, people.
But what if she wants to come on the show and then she's got guns?
Like if we were having her in person, no.
No. We're going to have to TSA her.
No, yeah. No. I would have her. Listen, I had, who did I have?
With a gun?
Merrick DeVille had a gun on that show we did, yeah. Bedside Chat. Gosh, it was a bedside chat. Like I forget the number.
I think it was like right after the.
Oh yeah. The little the porn girl. She was great. She was
very nice. Merrick DeVille, and she reads socialist philosophers, and she's a sex worker and a porn star, I guess. Porn performer.
What's the problem?
She does have a gun that she showed me.
Yeah.
She had a cat and a gun.
Yeah,
she has her pussy and her dick. You know,
it was a rifle. Or it was like a
It looked like a hunting type of rifle.
Like a musket.
I mean, and she had
like you really had in 1776. Yeah. It didn't look like an assault weapon.
No, but she had some serious missiles.
She looked tough. And then there were the missiles.
Yeah,
whoa,
the missiles,
baby.
Right in the middle.
She had that gun right between those missiles. Hot, hot, hot.
Okay.
Merrick DeVille.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
hot.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate her. And yeah, she likes her gun. So I don't love that. And I would not let her in here if she was going to come visit the speakeasy in Bonoboville.
Your hairdresser is on Instagram.
Oh,
he's
Mark.
Saying hi.
Hey, tell him about my hair.
Oh, her hair?
I used to have a ponytail.
Yeah, I wake up at night sometimes.
No, it's a horse tail.
And I think I'm sleeping with a horse. Except it smells really good.
Aw, thank you, sweet. Unlike your feet used to smell back in Italy when you were
when I
a
lived
foot
in,
hooker.
Listen, I lived in a Lincoln. What do you want to...
Wow.
Didn't have
I
a
miss
toilet.
You, Mark.
Yeah.
You
yeah
know, but
we
you
miss
did
you.
Such a good job on my hair that, you know, it still holds up somehow, even without a year of hairdressing. Yep. Uh-huh. So it's part of my slut image. I'm a slut and proud, but do not use my sluttery to slut shame me or to support your sexist, racist agenda, because that is exactly what rash limp balls tried to do to me. Cat calling me a, quote, little item in his creepy little newsletter, trying to mock me and my theory of post-Trump sex disorder, as well as sufferers. He actually didn't mock the theory. He totally got into the theory. He just thought it was evident that the libs are so weak, their sexuality might be affected by their lover being deported or by being put down for being transgender or by various things or by disagreeing. You know, divorces would happen over politics during the Trump era. And so he put me down in his
who was the salesman?
Slutty way.
Who was that guy?
It was a guy named
British
Mark
guy.
Stein,
Mark
who was
Stein.
A very slobbering, cackling, sadistic kind of mouthpiece.
But he certainly loved talking about you.
And heavy breathing.
And heavy.
He loved saying little item and small, a little item.
A little item.
He said it in his British accent.
Yeah,
he's like sort of
and he says,
Russia's British
right. And he says, if
boy.
For nothing else, if for nothing else, he says.
Yes.
For
nothing else,
item.
get his creepy little newsletter for this little item. Get it for Dad, because it was around Father's Day in some year, like 2018.
You answered him.
I did.
I noticed I answered him. That disappeared.
And as soon as I did, they took down that shit show. They called it Dysfunction Junction. Was
well,
the name
yeah,
of their
yeah.
segment
see,
on me.
This guy went back wherever he came from, and Rush died.
You know...
That's not a good ending.
Well, I guess. Well, I don't know how Mark Stein is doing. Maybe he's going to have a big, big career, you know, now. He's going to be the one that picks up the mantle and owns the libs, because that was what Rush was really... I mean, I think that was a primary effort of his, which is why insulting was so important to own.
Mm.
Not because you're right,
mm.
not because you care, even, but just to make fun of someone, to own, and usually it would be the libs or, you know, poor people or foreigners or, you know, racial groups.
African Americans, he was very mean to.
Yes.
Me. Yeah, the comedian that I was speaking about earlier, he was mostly talking about, like, black people would be there to beat him up.
And for Rush, it was a kind of cuckolding, I think. In that sense, Roger Stone and Paul Manafort talk about that a lot. You know, you're a cuck. And Rush was constantly doing that, calling people these names, making us the butt of bad jokes. So I felt I had no choice but to rebut his butt. Good. And yeah, so good that Rush took down that whole slut-shaming shit show. But I kept it because, I don't know, I mean, I'm not embarrassed to be slut-shamed at all. So.
And the guy's very funny in a way. You know, he's so excited.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I felt, you know, I won that game. Maybe the bonobo way won that game. And, you know, not just me, but that huge, limp dick compensating cancerous cigar. Yeah, baby. You be careful about these phallic substitutes out there, whether they're guns or cigars. And I understand. I like to put something in my mouth or hold something in my hands. Something with power. I like that. I get it.
Alrighty.
But you be careful now.
I'm going to have a drink. I'll be right back.
Watch Rush sucking on those cigars. And ew, it's like watching a sex act. I'm sorry. It's like one of those sex acts you don't want to see. So there I was on Twitter celebrating Rush getting flushed when one of his trawling minions decides to slut shame me. And here's what he says. His name's Mike, he says. In other words, you are the hate-filled bigot who is literally attacking a person who just died. How low of a whore are you?
Yeah.
I really... I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's so good. And so Mike, I love how he literally spelled whore, W-H-0-R-E. And also spelled U, just with a U. And so I guess he was trying to trip the Twitter bots, which I understand because I try to trip bots too. I mean, and I don't know what I'm doing either. So a way I can relate, we're all humans calling each other names. So Mike, you know, I get it. You know, I think it's more evidence of your own perversions than anything about me, but you go right ahead. You know, I don't believe in any censorship.
Yeah, so there's a guy, so you, just so you know, that he would suck and eat anything you'd give him.
He'd suck anything?
If anything that you would give him.
Well, let's start
with... He would suck on it.
Let him borrow for a while.
A dildo?
I don't know.
What's his name? Does he have a name?
You know, the
I think
last...
I think I could see it. It says...
The last part of it, his first name or last name is Napoli.
But I Napoli?
Can't, no, yeah, but I can't read the first part.
MJ Napoli.
MJ Napoli?
MJ Napoli.
MJ Napoli.
Tell us if we're pronouncing it right, MJ.
Yeah, let us know. We're talking to you.
He says, call me names.
Call you names?
Like,
why?
Like mean names?
Where is he?
He is on Instagram.
Should we be mean, wrong, and evil like
that's
rash limp bags?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants us to.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be wrong.
No.
Napoli. I feel like calling him a bad pizza. Like, I'm not going to eat your sausage, man. It's bad. It's cheesy too. Yuck. Oh, MJ Napoli. No, you shouldn't be using the name MJ because everybody tries to diss on MJ, including HBO, who's now dissing on Woody Allen, but they tried on MJ. Everybody tries on MJ.
So this guy's, his name is Captain Napoli.
Captain, okay, that's better. Captain. So he's dissing on you. What?
He's dissing on me.
Right. Yeah. He wants to be humiliated. And how dare you call yourself
that's
Captain?
Right, you slut.
You little worm. crawl on the floor.
Yeah, we love you. Are you Italian?
He looks all right.
Are you from Napoli? Oh, you got a picture of him?
Oh, he's got a suit on.
Let me see. Let me see his suit.
I'm not going to say you look like a monkey in your monkey suit because I like all monkeys right, too much.
He's great.
He's squinting. Why are you squinting? Why don't you take a picture of yourself where you're not squinting? You look like you could be a nice-looking guy.
No, he is.
Don't
very
be squinting.
Nice. Very nice.
Your next picture, I want you to relax, turn the lights down low to a nice, romantic, attractive glow, because I know you're probably looking for love, crawling along the floor like a worm. So, is that enough? After all, I'm not a real dominatrix.
He just said, I'll crawl on the floor.
I'm a sexologist.
He said, I'll crawl on the floor for you.
All right, okay, thank you very much.
And why is your hair
dressed? Will you clean my floor?
Call us.
Actually, Chico already does that. He's always crawling around, licking.
Why does your hairdresser laugh at that?
Oh, I have such a cute dog. Well, it's not my dog. It's Anna's dog.
His
Mark.
Name? Chico
Mark understands
name.
Cute dogs.
Napoli said, I am monkey for you.
Oh,
you
good.
Are monkey.
I like monkeys.
Yeah, we like monkeys.
I won't be squinting
I'm
for
you
anymore.
I'm torn about people that make monkeys do tricks because I think it's animal cruelty, but it's so cute. So, I don't know.
He says he won't be squinting for you anymore.
But you're not a real monkey, so I can make you do tricks.
Call
Napoli. What's an Italian trick? What's a trick they do in Naples? Like drive without any laws? I know they do that.
They do a lot of thievery down there. I love Naples. My whole family is from Naples.
Right, yeah. Right. That's why I thought you would
Some
know.
Some of my family were thieves also.
What did they specialize in stealing?
Whatever they could put their hands on.
Besides pasta.
Eat a lot of gelato and pizza.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good business.
You ever steal pizza? No. Steal a meatball.
Goodness.
All right, so you make me do tricks. Okay, stand on your head.
And send a picture.
Just call
right.
us.
Stand on your head and send a picture or call us. Do something. Give us something to do. We're right. the ones with the show. You should
you
give us
are the
something.
Contestant.
Right. And we actually would like to talk about other things than you.
But we're willing to.
Can I do some tricks for you and if it's concerning BDSM? Tie yourself up.
Yeah, do that.
To the phone.
Yeah. And what style are you
How about
going to
a trick like getting on your phone and giving us a call? Okay, let's give out the phone number.
Phone number.
This is quite a trick. You're going to use your phone that you're already on right. as a phone in the old sense, in the sense we used to use a phone back in the day when Rush Limbaugh didn't even exist.
Right.
Well, he existed, but he wasn't a big deal. And so the phone number is 626-461-5950. That's 626-461-5950. And this is a radio show, an old-fashioned radio show. And we don't mind you writing in, but it can only go so far.
Right. It's a private group, and... When you're on our land.
A private group, right. Just like all these big tech, even us little tech people,
right.
we have rules. Like, if you don't have anything to say, we don't want to talk to you, okay? So if you have something to say or offer, you know, like if you have a trick that you'd like to do for us, we would be very happy to have you do it. Mm-hmm.
You pick the trick.
Otherwise, we're going to go back to our anti-eulogy, which I remember last year was an anti-Valentine when Rush got that undeserved Medal of Honor. So now it's an anti-eulogy, and we're celebrating because death brings grief or relief. Sometimes both. In this case, for me, I think, and everyone at this bar, just the latter.
It's more a loss of a brain.
because we're on the bonobo way and Rush went the other way, so we are relieved that he is out of the way because he has been in the way since the greedy Reagan-Bush 80s when, this is important now, class, okay, so everybody sit down and listen to this. This is what happened. This was a rollback of your government's power, which I know you don't want your government planting little sensors in you via a vaccine or something. But let me tell you, the government just censors you, okay? And you are already implanted by the government by a little device that's called your phone. But anyway, in the 1980s, the FCC repealed the Fairness Doctrine. Do you know what the Fairness Doctrine was?
What was it?
It was a little doctrine that made media, which was television and radio, a little bit boring because it required radio and TV stations to provide free airtime for responses to controversial opinions either way, meaning that stations had to broadcast, you know, somebody from the left if somebody from the right was going to hold forth and vice versa.
Right.
And that did make things a little tedious because, you know, there's a little bit of momentum that would be lost because you'd have to hear the other side of the story in those days. So then they said, well, we don't want that. We want to broadcast commentary without airing the opposing views. And at first I thought, all right, well, you know, because I was young and believed in freedom and didn't quite understand that this would free not my brothers and sisters and lovers and sinners of the left. No, actually, that didn't free them at all. It freed what money could buy. And it freed this ambitious Missouri radio man who came from a very prominent conservative family with judges and lawyers. It freed this man who was very ambitious and who kept failing and failing in his early life, and so was desperate to be a success, to attract attention. It freed him to plant the little seedlings of hate. Well, first it freed him to spew them, and then they would be implanted into people's brains through that wonderful medium that I love, called the theater of the mind. And there they would flower into, well, a crueler America. And yeah, it came through that voice, like caramel syrup delivering a dose of cyanide. Rush was a Trumper before there was Trump. Actually, even before there was Fox News.
Right.
When there was young Trumply, who was nothing but a fame-hungry, philanderous, short-fingered vulgarian. He did get some coverage. But he was still suckling at the teat of daddy's money. And Rush was making it on his own because his daddy did not approve of radio, which was all about DJs then. And, you know,
right.
I don't know.
Smoking dope or something.
Maybe
Dr.
Ruth was just getting on there in the very beginning.
Wouldn't want to be a radio announcer.
So I got to say that Rash Limpballs was a pioneer, and he kind of helped to create this toxic talk radio, which is a whole genre. and quite possibly without Rush Limbaugh's impotent yet toxic seed, nurturing racism and sexism, which, though still rampant, well, I gotta say, as a person that was alive in the 1980s, it seemed as if they were kind of on their way out to ignorant me, postmodern America. So without Rush, in a way, without Rush Limbaugh, there might very well be no President Trump.
I don't know. I'm trying to find my...
Yeah, we don't know. And, of course, they both are Americans.
Oh, that was great.
And they both are of German extraction. You know, they have a lot of similarities. And I used to think that Trumpty Dumpty might appreciate that. At least as much as he lusted after Ivanka. Well, maybe not that much. But, you know, I just found out that lately, you know, when he was on Hannity, Trump, of course, used most of the time to say, yeah, those elections, they were all fake. But the short amount of time he talked about Rush, he says, yeah, he didn't even know him. Well, of course, he says he doesn't know a lot of people. He probably stole a lot of his material from him, but he claims he didn't know him and that he only agreed to meet with him when he heard that Rush was, quote, with us. At which point they became...
Whip us?
Buddies.
Did you say with us? Or
I wish I had said whip us,
whip
because
us.
That would be more interesting.
Yeah.
But maybe they did whip each other. I don't know who would have been a top or a bottom among those two. But they became best buddies. Rush, ever the poet loyalist to the Emperor Trump, the embodiment of his Limbaugh's most fervent fascist fantasies. His greatest contribution to the world is that despite his various sexual escapades, the king of creeps died child free.
Yeah.
Good for him. So what are your memories of Rush Limbaugh's?
My memories of him... Well, I remember about the pills, you know. I knew about all his hate stuff.
Mm. Yeah, hate
Your
and slut-shaming. Did you
right.
hear? He also slut-shamed Kamala.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
he slut-shamed left-wing commentator
he was a poor
Crystal
man.
Ball.
He was a poor individual who had nothing but probably, I don't know this, I'm not a psychologist. Okay?
Right. So. You Be the Psychologist is the name of some hit show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually had that in my magazine at one time.
Right.
It was called You Be the Psychologist.
That's where I heard of that. That's where I heard of that. All right. What's a good name? Okay. Well,
right.
You Be the Psychologist.
Right. So,
tell us.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you were his psychologist, what would you tell him?
Tell who?
Rush.
Oh, if I was his psychologist,
no, I wouldn't.
Know what
well, he's dead.
I'd say, you're too fat, you take too many pills, okay? And you're blathering really dangerous poison.
Mm. Well, towards the end, he did lose weight. You know, that happens.
Yeah,
and he actually looked kind of better.
Yeah, when you get cancer, you lose weight.
Yeah.
I'm the only guy that gained it.
You did. You loved eating other people's sandwiches in the chemo room, right?
Yeah.
You would sit there, they would walk around with sandwiches, and these other people getting chemo would be like, no, I can't eat, I'm nauseous. No.
Oh, nurse.
Are you going to eat that sandwich?
Is there another sandwich around? I go, what? I'm hungry. Yeah, that was great. And it was terrible. They fed you all these... sliced meat with nitrates and all that stuff, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
And cheese, and you know, I don't know how many of those I ate.
How many of those did you eat?
A lot.
Naughty boy.
I love me a good sandwich.
Yeah, right.
How about cookies?
In fact, in the hospital, I ate so many of those, they called me the Earl of Sandwich.
So you're the Prince of Prague.
The Earl
the
of Sandwich.
The Duke of Melnick. And the Earl of Sandwich.
Sandwich.
And that's a relatively new title.
Right.
I wonder who the quote-unquote real Earl of Sandwich is. Or maybe he's the fake and you
he
are
invented
the real
this,
one.
There is an
Earl of Sandwich from long, long ago.
Yeah, he invented the sandwich.
Like the days of Robin Hood.
Yeah, he invented the sandwich for the hunters.
Speaking of the stock market.
What to bring with them. You know, they couldn't bring hot soup.
No.
Yeah. No, horse's ass.
But why sandwich?
Because that was the land that he presided over.
Sandinavia?
No. We haven't drilled down that deeply into the etymology of sandwich.
Oh, wow.
Did not do research on that subject.
I'm pretty hungry now, though, so.
Yeah, well, we're going to eat.
Does anybody want some cookies?
Cookies.
Woohoo! I want some cookies.
Well, what kind of cookies?
Pussy cookies. Now I've got your interest.
Hey, not
from
did you
the
hear that?
Taste point of view and the
okay.
other point of view. After we're done with the show, we're going to have another show that is
Let's
an old video show.
From Purim.
About Purim.
Right.
Right.
But it's going to
because Purim, which is the Jewish Mardi Gras. Right. February, this time, I mean, actually Purim falls at different times, but right now it is kind of during the Mardi Gras time, and it is this Thursday night if you're tuned in live. So right after this show, we are going to play a 2018 Purim Bacchanal.
Napoli is frosting
with
at the mouth.
Mistress Tara and Dad, Dominatrixes Against Donald Trump, and a bunch of hot porn stars and Ikor, basically. anyway, it's going to be on right after this. But Purim, just so you know, it is the Feast of Queen Esther. Who was Queen Esther? Well, I could sum her up as the ancient biblical heroine and teenage beauty contest winner, whom Rush Limbaugh would probably call a slut. But she saved her people from genocide with nothing.
But her
weapons of mass seduction. So we're going to play this. And this was around March of 2018. And so it fell on Sex Workers Day, as well as was during Women's Month. So it was quite auspicious because Purim honors a woman. And actually, she is the only central female character in a Jewish holiday story. And not only that, but she is, in my very perverse midrash, a sex worker. You see, in the Bible, seriously, look, if you look at your Bible, between Nehemiah and Job, you will see the book of Esther. And the young Esther is brought before the Persian king Ahasuerus, who is probably based on the historical king Xerxes, by what I call her pimpin' cousin Mordecai. That's my name for him, because he is a righteous man, as the Bible says, who virtually pimps out his hot young cousin to a lecherous, alcoholic, and volatile king. This happens in the Bible. Though the payment isn't quite made until the end of the story, Esther, well, she goes back and forth. I mean, she's in a situation. She's kind of, in a way, she's kind of trafficked. Although, I don't know, she's pretty young, so it's hard to say if she could really consent. But she loves her pimping cousin Mordecai. So she's determined to make it as the king's favorite. And so she alternates between teasing and pleasing the king. It actually is an exercise, a lesson in seduction to read the Book of Esther. And Esther herself may be based on a real Persian Jewish queen. And he's very fickle, but she wins, and very drunk. But she wins his favor. And she gets her reward when her potentate grants her request to spare her people, the Jews, from annihilation. That's the story. And in a time when power was almost always gained through brute force and cold gold, a time like it is now? Well, it was kind of a human miracle. And yes, you could say Esther stoops for peace. Right? It's very Bonobo-esque. It's essentially Esther making peace through pleasure, in a form of some high-risk sex work. Any second, the Bible keeps telling you, he could behead her, like the guards, or like grab her. And he says, no, you know, I still want another blowjob. No, no. Basically, that's the subtext. It doesn't say blowjob in the Bible. She is doing this sex work. And the pleasure is this fun and this beauty that she provides for the king. And creativity, and the peace, well, she brings about her people's salvation and cleverly gets it from her John, you know? I don't even know if he's aware, but he gives it to her, and Mordecai, over that matter. And then they do some bad things, actually, but I'll get into that some other time. I want to get back to the pussy cookies, right?
Yeah.
Right, because on Purim, we chamentashen, but only loser Twersky and Jewish or German people can say that. When I was in Sunday school and learned about this, I got my Purim spiel from the Sunday school teacher. They said the chamentashen was Haman's hat, and I love hats, but I didn't buy it. And then I looked at the chamentashen, which is a triangular pastry filled with fruit. And it hit me like an epiphany. This is a pussy. This is a vulva. Right, the pastry is right. The labia.
And it's
this is the vulva. And then inside is the fruit. The which fruit. Is the vagina.
The treat.
The treat to get inside. Right. So it's all there.
That's the most
That is what it is. And it is a holiday of the woman. Like I said, Purim is the Jewish, I don't know, it's the only holiday that the Jews celebrate that focuses on a woman, that is named after a woman, the Feast of Queen Esther, and she is the heroine. And some people try to say, oh, no, it's really Mordecai's story. All right, you know, he's the mastermind. But she has to do everything. She's the sex worker. And she's the hero. And she's a woman. Some say she's related to Ishtar, another goddess of the Mesopotamian area. Chamentashen, pussy cookies. In a violent patriarchal world that more often exhibits contempt for that which is feminine and soft and sweet. The Purim pussy cookies, hey, they're all about love and sweetness and yumminess and respect for the womanly symbol.
This is also making me hungry.
All right. Well, we're almost done with the show.
I'm getting hungry for some.
Right, but that's what you're going to watch at the end.
Pussy cookies.
Yeah. Pussy cookies. Yay! Okay.
They really usually don't taste that good, honestly. They're always very dry, except for the part in the middle.
No, the part in the middle.
The part in the middle is fruit.
When that part mixes with the dough.
You start in the middle, and then you work your way to the outside.
You got
to
get the homemade ones. I guess I grew up on deli chumentashen before I called them pussy cookies. You know, they were very dry on the outside. You sort of want to bite off the corners because they look good, but then they're, I don't know, like a too dry pussy, like you need to lube that pussy. But I didn't think of it that way. I was a kid. I graduated to homemade chumentashen.
Yeah,
maybe we'll make them.
Yeah.
Purim is Thursday, right? We're going to play this show all week, and it is a great show.
Can you put raspberries in the middle?
Anything you want. Okay. Raspberries are a classic, actually. Cherries, really. And apricots.
They're a little tart.
And no, it's very sweet. They always have a gel of sweetness around these things, unless they're homemade, I guess. Prune is, yes, one of the flavors. And
that's also good for you know.
I don't think I've ever had prunes. I'm not even going to ask you, Max.
Is this making you hungry for food or sex?
Oh, goodness. So, wow, that was a great. Go on.
Well, I guess we're about to wind up, so you can also visit Dr. Block's Pleasure Shop.
Yeah, oh, come visit us, right? We got this website and that website, and they're all kind of different, and everybody goes, oh, what kind of website is that? It's my fucking website and her fucking website. That's what it is. And like an Italian, if you don't like it, I'll see you later. That's fine. So I only like people that like me. Hey. And come visit us. Help us out. And we'll send you nice things. Yeah, and you can call us 24 hours a day, by the way. Especially if you get horny or you need to talk to someone.
And you don't have to like us. You might just need to talk to us.
Yeah, yeah. Don't
see,
like
I like people that don't like me, actually. If you have a certain level of respect, you don't have to like everything about me. But obviously, you're compelled to call me. The devil made you do it, right? And you can call me. And our other Therapists Without Borders here at the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences. And that number is 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.
And Mr. Napoli here wants to know if we still hold retreats.
Not in the corona apocalypse.
No.
But we will once again.
Once again, yeah.
Allow you to retreat from right. The real world into the erotic theater. Of
and
the mind.
Depending on how much money you have, that's how much we're going to get.
Actually, right now, the retreat is in the erotic theater of the mind. It is here on this show. That is where we take the retreat. That is where you go with us. But yes, someday it will be in person. Embodied. So meanwhile, what's going on before we go? A few more little items?
Few
to quote Rush, lip balls.
That's why you should watch, listen to this
show. I got to say, speaking of gloating, I shouldn't gloat. At least I'm not gloating over someone being killed. They died. They had a graceful death.
It was natural.
You know, it was natural. It was organic. And they said goodbye. They got to die the way they wanted to die. They knew they were going to die. They got to say goodbye. They got medals they didn't deserve.
But he couldn't hear, you said?
Well, he had trouble hearing a lot of the years since the turn of the 21st
century. Certainly wasn't silent radio.
No. No, he couldn't hear the sound of his own voice. Maybe if he did, he would have shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm. But going from Rush to Trump, because without Rush, there would be no Trump, I think. I don't know. Maybe there would be.
Hype man.
Because they are all Americans. We are all Americans. We are all responsible for this crap.
Yeah. So Rush ran. No, Rush walked so Trump could run.
There you go. Some kind of evolutionary thing. Yeah. So it is fun, though, to see Trump and Mitch. Mitch, the bitch for the rich. They're both bitches for the rich, really. They just have a different style. And Mitch thinks he's into policy. Trump doesn't give a shit about policy. He just wants to be a fascist because he likes to have all the power. He's a narcissist. Anyway, it's great to see them at each other's throats. Hopefully it'll destroy the GOP. I like what the New York Post called them. Gutless, offensive, pathetic in terms of the hearing, the impeachment. So now it's the turn of my fellow Yale classmate, Cyrus Vance.
Ah, right. That's cool.
Right.
That's very cool.
In New York, he's going after Trump. And so is a woman, Letitia James, I think her name is.
Mm-hmm. In New York?
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of people are going after people, and sometimes you support them and sometimes you don't. You know, predation in our society is rampant. We're all going after each other.
Right.
That's why it's better to go after the dead, in because a way. They're already dead. You're not really doing them any harm.
I don't know. I see that. I saw that in Italy a lot, in the village.
Going after people.
Yeah.
That is a human quality. It might even, it's an ape quality of going after each other.
Yeah. You know that woman?
We're social. We're very close to each other. We care about each other. And we try to police each other's behavior. Or get free of each other, and yet we need each other.
Oh, we have a goddess that just joined us, just as we were about to leave, Dr. Susie.
Mm.
So,
just two quick things.
Sure.
Okay. So, speaking of gods and goddesses, Marilyn Manson is being investigated now for domestic abuse, which is actually I don't really have too much to say about it. Except that he needs his personal Jesus right about now. Although that's just a cover of a Depeche Mode song. But yeah, you know, in a way it should be interesting because in a way it is going to be putting BDSM on trial. I don't know. Or is it not BDSM? Are we going to hear that it was truly coercive? Like
can you take back consent for a spanking?
I don't know. Well, I think you give consent when you're over 18. If people think, oh, but she was a teenager, then we should raise the age of consent, which I also don't really believe in. But hey, if you're going to say that an 18-year-old can't consent to a sexual act with a 50-year-old, even though their ages are high, then I don't know. We'll see. So HBO, which we used to have a show on HBO, and they're now going after Woody Allen, right? In a hatchet job.
Woody Allen?
A Pharaoh-sided documentary. And I'm all for cancel culture, really. I love cancel culture. Cancel Woody if you want. But I do suggest read Moses Pharaoh's account and watch my bedside chat with Joanne Wipajewski and read her book, What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Me Too.
And stay tuned if you're listening on one of our little platforms, as they call them today. It's like a train station. You're on a platform, and from that platform, you could speak to the people.
Right.
This is FDR Radio, and that's Dr. Susan Block over there. Good night, Dr. Susie.
Oh, good night, Captain Max.
Oh,
what a beautiful
cookies,
ride.
Oh, those cookies.
It's on the train. into the bonobo way of peace through pleasure in all kinds of weather. I love you.
Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo. And help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.